and welcome to episode 39 of the STG podcast, where we speak about science, technology, gaming, and a lot of other stuff. And I'm Giovanni, your host, and the other host with me today is Juhana. Hello.
Hey.
So we are continuing kind of the gaming generally, because we only spoke about gaming in this month, and today we are trying to go back a little bit into the tech science part. We have been lacking a bit of that side because we are not finding that many people joining, because mostly laziness. So
yeah,
gonna improve that. We are gonna have some guests in next month already. So, and again, I tell it every time, but I don't know if how many people really care about that enough. But if you want, you can join us on Twitter at STG_podcast and propose someone or some topic that you care about, or if you know something that is interesting and you want to speak about that, just contact us, and we always want to learn new things, so that would be interesting. But anyway, let's go to the topic of today. I don't know how many of you follow this, but basically the DeepMind, the company behind AlphaGo, and I don't remember how it was called before, but the artificial intelligence that beat a really good guy, I don't remember his name, the Korean guy at the game of Go. What was last year?
Yeah, I think it was last year or the year before that. Anyway, in the past 2 years.
Yeah, so there is this, they are a British company owned by Google now, and they are developing this basically deep learning. I don't know how it's even called, a deep learning algorithm, deep learning machine, or anyway, this artificial intelligence that, of course, is used by Google for mostly commercial services like picture recognition and voice recognition and whatever they are using this for, the extremely shitty algorithm that YouTube uses to determine copyrights or this kind of crap. But anyway, so we don't really know much about deep learning. At least I don't know very much. I don't know if you know a little bit more than me.
Well, I have. I guess I sort of. I would say I know more than the layperson. So I know some of the things that these are based on, but I'm in no way sort of. I've never implemented even simple machine learning algorithms, but I sort of know the high level basics of what it actually does. But
yeah, you know. Basically the only thing I know is that it runs on GPUs, tensor cores, and that's it.
Okay.
And it's basically the general thing is that it's an algorithm that it's given data, and then it tries to learn whatever you tell them to learn, like do this thing with this data, and then you don't tell them how to do it. The algorithm just tries until it improves the results that much that it's kind of learning the way of doing things.
I mean,
sort of very general.
Yeah, slightly more refined version is that it's basically it's feeding data, so it's you give it some raw data, and then it's trying to estimate some sort of function that actually would give these kind of outputs from this kind of inputs. So you give it lots of, there's different ways of machine learning where you either have only inputs and outputs, and then you sort of just train the network on the inputs and see what kind of outputs it gives. And then you can either give it sort of feedback that, okay, these values are wrong, change them or something like this, or it can do it by itself. That there are many different ways of this, but basically it's at its simplest, machine learning means fitting or trying to find a function that sort of fits the input data as good as possible. And if you have a function, then any input you give it, you can get always a specific output. That's sort of the very simple thing that it's based on.
Yeah, and then you just multiply that by a lot to get to this complex problem that they are trying to solve with this machine learning. And yeah. I found this very nice way to say that they basically eat the data that you feed them, but they are not searching for information. Like, they don't really look for the data they need. They just learn whatever they need to learn from the data they have. So that's, I don't know, this was just a cool difference between a child and an artificial intelligence, since often they are compared to each other the way they learn from trying and error and like seeing what works and what doesn't. But the child will also search the data it needs to improve, and artificial intelligence cannot do that yet.
Artificial intelligence is like a black box where you actually have to feed the data for it to do anything. If you don't give it any input, it doesn't give any output.
Yeah, also like the output is as good as the data you feed. Because
with shitty data,
you're gonna get shitty output. That's the idea. And so why are we speaking about this? Because they are now trying to, after they beat the game of Go, that is, well, I won't say easy, but rather easy, because you see the whole board and there are very limited set of moves you can do, but the combination is huge. So that's why the old approach to solving the problem, like chess, that you can just brute force it with raw power, throw at it until you try every combination until you find the good one, and then you continue every move to do that. In Go already, you cannot do that. Like, it's too much.
Yeah, even in chess, that is very impractical.
Yeah, but you can kind of brute force it in a way. It's like they kind of solved that with different type of artificial intelligence before, like in the old days.
But I just want to emphasize that even chess has the same problem, but you know, Go is in sort of on a different level.
It's just the scale of the difficulty for the machine is kind of higher and higher all the time, and now they are trying to teach this DeepMind how to play StarCraft 2. That the main difference is that it's a game of incomplete information. You don't know everything. You only know what you can see. So you don't know what the opponent is doing. And then there is, of course, all the micromanagement of the units. So basically the idea of the game is just you have all the units. Some units gather resources. The resources gives you money to buy new units, build structures that make you do better things, better unit research, better upgrades, and then you build your army and take your army, fight the opponent that is doing the same. That's the basic idea of a strategy game. And the point of StarCraft is that you don't see what the opponent is doing. You only see what your unit see in a certain area. So you have to send a unit to your opponent to see what they are doing. So you have to base your strategy on what you think your opponent is doing or could do, if you know in what situation you are. So if you see certain units, you know that they are probably going to use those and not other units, and all this kind of different structure that gives you information. So it's so much harder because you need to make decision based on approximation, kind of.
Yeah, you have to try to understand the things that you see. Are they actually sort of, are they indication of a real strategy that the opponent is using, or is the opponent bluffing in some way? And balancing this gathering of information with, because the whole point of the game, like you mentioned, is to gather resources and train to become better and then destroy your opponent. So basically, in that sense, if you just say that the goal is to become better and destroy your opponent, that doesn't really actually say anything about finding information. You don't necessarily need to find information, but actually to do the thing well, you need information. So this sort of gives a lot of different strategies with based on how good you are in actually finding the information that you need, and also by basing your own actions on the information that you get. So should I actually change my own plan because I saw the enemy is doing this, or should I consider that maybe it's bluffing, or even if it's not bluffing, can I, if I'm fast enough in doing what I actually originally decided to do, should I still keep going, or should I move, should I change it, or, you know, it's all of this kind of stuff.
And it's also this kind of thing that every unit is not the best unit. Every unit has some unit that counters it.
Yeah.
So you cannot have just this set of units that are going to win all the time. Of course, yeah. The longer the games goes, the better unit you get at some point, they are kind of the best unit you can have in yeah. a general situation. But most still. Of the situation are like, okay, I build this, but if the opponent has the complete opposite strategy, they are going to win because just they have better units. So you kind of need to have this long-term plan and then adapt the plan based on what you see from your opponent and keep thinking of a new strategy. So that's why they want to train the artificial intelligence the game, because they really need to have they need to learn the strategies, the best way to use so many different units and so many different variables in the game.
Yeah. Yeah, basically the game of StarCraft is when you think of the units, it's a huge bag of rocks, papers, and scissors, and you always try to basically you have to have all three of those, because the enemy has access to all three of them as well, and then you try to find the situations where you can put your rocks against the enemy's scissors, and you can put your scissors against the enemy's paper, and so on. So it's balancing this sort of, if you can choose your fights so that you fight with the units that are known to be better against these opponents that the enemy has, and try to minimize the the bad units, or not, let's not say bad units, but the units that are
not weak. Ideal.
Yeah, not ideal or weak against some specific units that the enemy has.
Yeah, and the two part of the game is that you have this strategy, so it's this macro game that you have to mine your resources, build units, build the buildings, expand your base to get more resources, and all this like grand scheme kind of long-term strategy in the game kind of part, and then all the micro management, so it's actually physically moving the units. You can do that really well if you just are good at clicking well. So you select the unit, move them, and make them fight in the most optimal way. So there is a lot of discussion now after this part of the DeepMind is called AlphaStar, the one that plays in StarCraft 2. So basically AlphaStar, they were trying to see, does it work or not? So they took some pro gamers, and they make them fight against the AI that won 10-1 the 11 game they played. So it seems that the artificial intelligence is already so good that it can beat human at this extremely difficult game. But it's not like that simple. And there is quite a lot of discussion now in the StarCraft community, mostly, I would say, because the artificial intelligence community is really happy of the results, and I hope they continuing to get better, because if you really check the games, they are not as good as they might claim to be.
Yeah, the news about this topic, it's I would guess if you are more interested in artificial intelligence than you are in StarCraft, then you are sort of more happy, or sort of these news sound probably more like groundbreaking to you than it actually does to people who are more interested in StarCraft than in artificial intelligence.
And it's actually extremely groundbreaking. I mean, they have really managed to make artificial intelligence to beat a human, even with all the limitation that we can go through.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's good.
Yeah, I think we should mention a video, a YouTube video by a YouTuber called brown bear, because I think lots of the things we're going to discuss are based on this.
Yeah, he's doing an analysis of the game, that he knows the game much better than us. So
yeah,
he knows his shit. We kind of trying to speak about the topic based a lot on what the deep minds say, what the community says. So
yeah. Oh, and before we go to the how the AI actually played and how the games turned out and so on, I want to emphasize that. Earlier, Giovanni mentioned that you have these two levels. You have the macro level, or you have the long-term level where you have the strategy. I'm going to build these units, and I'm going to do this kind of base structuring, and this is what I'm going for. And then you have the micro, where you control each group unit, each group of units, or even individual units, and you... At the same time, you build your base and so on. So basically, you do lots of different smaller actions to follow your grand scheme. And the point I want to make here is that if you are better at this, if you are better than your opponent in mechanical mechanically doing this micro level of the play. So if you're faster in moving your units, that actually opens up new strategies to you, which the opponent cannot use because they are not as good. One very good example of this was given by Day 9. He's also a StarCraft. I think he was a pro player in StarCraft Brood War. But anyway, he has a channel called Day 9 TV. He has a very good example of this where you have Terran units against some Zerg units, and if you don't move any of the units, let's say that you're playing the Terran and you get attacked by these Zergs, if you don't move any of your units, you're going to need a certain number of these units to actually beat the enemy attack. Now, if you move your units even a little bit, you actually need less. If you're even better at moving them, you need even less, and so on and so on. So obviously, there's a gap to this, but the point I'm trying to make is that if you are very good at this micro level, you don't necessarily need as many resources for the same thing that you're trying to do as someone else needs if they are not as good. So this is a very big point, that mechanics isn't all about sort of, you know, being better at that same thing and getting a slight slight bonus because of that, but it actually can drastically change your strategy as well, because if you aren't able to do the needed mechanics to pull off the strategy, then you can't really do it.
And yeah, and it's like this, you can make a worse strategy if you control your units better, because your units are not going to die as fast as the others.
Yeah.
Units, yeah. And also same strategy, better micro, of course. Better micro, yeah, always wins. And this is one of the big point of a computer basically has perfect micro.
Yeah,
just by definition, a computer knows how far a unit shoots, how much damage it does, how much damage it takes, how much life every unit has at any moment, where they are, and they click perfectly because the artificial intelligence gives command to the game. It's not clicking anything, so they are never going to click wrong, and they can click extremely precise in time to the millisecond time. I mean, okay, they say that there is a reflex time of 150 milliseconds between giving actions, like realizing something and giving an action in the artificial intelligence, because I mean, of course, there is some processing, but in after this 150 milliseconds, if they know that this unit can survive 2.32 seconds, they are going to move it 2.31 seconds before, and that's going to survive.
Yeah,
you know, a human cannot do any of this.
Yeah,
you can have an idea that the better you are, the more you can move the unit faster, and also check which one are gonna be dying soon to move them away. But it's not, if there is no perfect micro in humans. That's the main difference between these two. And
yeah,
people agree that okay, the artificial intelligence, if you get the strategy part decent, they are always going to win. I mean, it's not a challenge, humans versus artificial intelligence. I mean, it's a computer playing a computer game. Of course, they are going to win if they know how to do it.
Yeah, I mean, one big, very big difference in this is sort of, the underlying reason why this is so is because the way humans get data from the game and the way the artificial intelligence get data and the way humans give data to the computer and the way artificial intelligence gives data to the, or let's say game, not computer necessarily, those are completely different. And also the, if you want to be technical, the sort of the bandwidth and sort of the speed is very different for humans. The all the data you can gather is basically by hearing what the game by the sounds of the game and then by seeing, and that's it. And you have to analyze the data. There's a huge sort of already a huge like difference in the speed of actually getting the same amount of data, or probably even the less. Whereas for a computer, sort of the amount and the speed with which you can actually get the data is so much more because, for obvious reasons, because the same data is in the computer in which the artificial intelligence is, and sort of you can directly feed basically any data you want from the game to the artificial intelligence. So actually, this would be more interesting at that point when actually robots, like physical robots, who aren't actually plugged into a computer, they actually would have to use some sort of similar input-output systems as humans do, then that would actually be a more interesting thing.
Yeah, that would be really cool to see, like clicking the mouse and like using the screen to get information.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, in that sense, it is sort of obvious what you said, that obviously artificial intelligence will be better in anything that is done on the computer, because of the huge bias that it actually, or the huge difference in starting levels compared to humans, it's completely unfair.
Yeah, but I don't think they are trying to be fair or unfair. I mean, it's just nobody saying how now computers are better than humans. They're just two different things. They are like trying to challenge the humans in the difficult task to make the AI better, not to make the human feel bad. Like,
the human feel bad. my whole point was just that whenever these things are compared, you have to understand that the starting level is completely different. But
yeah, there is exactly a difference between everything that has been going on, basically.
Yeah,
and this is one of the main points of the DeepMind. Of course, they are really happy about what they achieved, and it's extremely cool. But they are kind of giving a bit too much freedom to themselves, in the sense of now they won 10 out of 11 games. So it's showing that the agents, those are like the artificial intelligence block that is actually playing, let's say like this. The one agent is one artificial intelligence that is kind of part of all the other agents, but they are separate from each other. So the one agent has good enough strategy, and the deep mind is winning, or Alpha Star in this case, is winning against human because of the strategy and what they choose, more than the just raw micro. And of course, the StarCraft community, not everybody, but there is this idea that that's not really true. And it feels much more that the micro is showing that the computer has perfect micro and can make strategies based on that. So if you make that strategy and it's a human versus a human, you're 100% because it's an inferior strategy if you don't have perfect micro.
Yeah. I think a good point on this was made by this guy, Brown Bear, where this DeepMind people actually said that, and it's true that they have these limitations. They actually had more info on this on the Reddit Ask Me Anything. But basically they have, let's say, in particular, I'm quoting now. In particular, we set a maximum of 600 APMs over 5-second periods, 400 over 15-second periods, 320 over 30-second periods, and 300 over 60-second periods. If the agent issues more actions in such periods, we drop or ignore these actions. These were values taken from human statistics. So they have these hard limits on the average number of, or actually on the total number of actions based on these times. But they didn't actually have any limitations on shorter periods of time. So Brown Bear makes a nice point in his video where they didn't actually mention that the peak actions per minute, peak value for that is actually sort of not limited. And apparently one of the agents used, was it something like 800 actions per minute at some point, or even more?
Yeah, and I know they have some graphs here on the Alpha Star, like that blog about this Alpha Star, how it plays. And they say that the mean APM of the TLO, that's one of the two pro players that played, was 678. That's really weird. But I mean, an average, and I don't understand this very much. I should check this a bit better. But I mean, it goes up to 5,500 APM. And I never seen anybody doing that. It's either pressing a lot or he's pressing a lot for no reason. Because they are playing Protoss, one of the races in the game. So TLO is not a Protoss main. So he's not his main race. He's just a pro player playing Zergs. So he's playing something that he's not used to. So probably it's just wasting APM in a way. Just it's not optimized for that. And then when Mana is playing the other pro player, he is a Protoss main. So he is much more focused on the around 400 APM. So his bell curve, it really looks like a bell curve.
Well, yeah, these.
While TLO is really just all over the place without really big spikes. So that's, I would not consider that one to be any good in that. Since Mana is a Protoss player, you check that against Alpha Star. And yeah, Alpha Star looks that he's using less APM. Like the mean is lower and also the peak is much lower, but you always have to remember that those are perfect clicks. Humans click many times to move the unit in this place. Maybe you press 5 times just because you do that. And so many clicks are wasted when you're a human place. So that's also APM is not really the best way to 100% say, hey, the machine is using less APM, so come on, it's not the micro.
Yeah, I mean, because like it's very clear from these distributions that Mana has a very sort of consistent play style or consistent way of using his APM. It's very close to it's rather narrow, and his basically his top APM. I mean, there's basically zero that there's no points after 500, and basically any significant amount of actions or accounts per action of minutes is, I think it's somewhere around 600. And after that, it's basically completely zero, whereas Alpha Star has quite significant amount of counts or, you know, actions done with APMs of even 750 and even less than that.
Yeah,
so and that
sort it keeps of, higher APM for longer in a way.
Yeah, I mean, sort of. If you have those peak values, no matter what your, because those peak values are things that are actually important in the micro. I mean, in those let's say 5 second bursts of action. If your APM in those 5 seconds bursts of action is 800 versus someone's, let's say 500 or or mean of 400, then yeah, obviously you're going to have you're going to have a huge advantage in the fight. And whereas if your mean APM is less, in it doesn't really necessarily matter that much, because I mean in those periods where you're not actually fighting. So I mean, if you're building the base, that's not, at least to my understanding, that's not really as important as actually being able to micro your units well.
Yeah, it's not APM intensive, so you, that's probably why the alpha star is, if the mean is much lower, because it's the maximum amount of APM it's using is like lower, like not the maximum, like the highest amount of APM is lower. It's like around 100 and something. It mainly uses around 100 to 200, because when it's not fighting or heavily microing, it's just making the least amount of click needed. Okay, actions. They are not clicks, they are actions. That you need, and maybe the humans is doing more anyway all the time.
Yeah.
And there is a really, really important thing to say, is that in the 10 games played where the Alpha Star won, Alpha Star sees the whole map at the same time. Of course, it doesn't see what the unit do not see. So it has its own vision only from its own unit, but it can see the whole map at the same time. And a human cannot do that. The human has to focus the camera in certain places, and you only see the minimap that is very small, just shows where the units are, but not what it is and what they are doing. So basically the Alpha Star could micro the whole map at the same time, when a human can only micro a screen at the time.
Yeah.
That looks like, yeah, okay, what does it really matter? But actually there have been some games that Alpha Star won 100% just because he could micro the whole screen. Like, that's the only reason why that game was won. Or let's say one of the only reason, because you could see Alpha Star doing things that you cannot do as a human if you're playing, focusing the screen and actually physically moving the mouse at that point, because you're moving the mouse from the top to the bottom of the screen to click around. Beside that, only just focusing the view limits you hugely in that.
Also, this is basically one of the reasons why the mean APM of Alpha Star is so much less, because it doesn't have to move the camera at all. It doesn't basically waste any actions for changing the viewpoint.
It can also build the base while microing at the same time, because you don't need to go to the base to do things, to go back to the microing, to go back to the base.
Yeah.
So it knows what's going on in the microing battle, let's say, and at the same time can just give action to the base to build new unit without stopping the focus from the micro. And then basically it's a huge factor that was not counted. Then the attention economy, how is it called, is one of the biggest part of the game, because you have your in-game economy, how much money you have, your APM, that is your technical like skill, and then your attention. It's another big factor, because you cannot do two things at the same time.
Mm.
So a human has to choose, do I micro, do I macro, do I move this unit or not? Where do I look?
Yeah.
The computer did not need to do that. And that's a huge difference. And that, again, we are not trying to say that, hey, the computer lost in reality. This is not a fair game. Like, nobody cares about that. It's just that if you read the blog from DeepMind, it really looks that they are convinced that they were better in the strategy sense.
Yeah, where that
look at the game is maybe not really there.
Yeah, that's not necessarily sort of not necessarily true that the Alpha Star is strategically better.
We can just read the blog, so then it's easier to. So this result, all of the thing they speak before, suggests that Alpha Star's success against MAN and TLO was in fact due to superior micro and superior macro and micro strategic decision making, rather than their superior click rate, faster reaction time, or the raw interface. And just if you look at this one game, you can go and like look for the game. It's actually really, really cool to see it because the micro is just fucking crazy. But if you look at that, it's like this sentence is completely not true because that game was won just because it could micro the whole screen and it could do things that humans can't do. And like you can really see that the unit, they never die because they are moved exactly in the moment before the next volley from the opponent would hit that unit. And also you can see really in another game, if you really slowly look at the game, when the opponent unit move towards Alpha Star unit, the unit on the top, on the front, is moved away exactly when the distance is lower so that the other unit could shoot. A human cannot make those decisions in a way. You don't really cannot know the perfect distance, and you have to move away at that moment because the other unit is now near enough to shoot.
Yeah. Completely different quote, but a very interesting quote from this blog is from Mana, I think. Yes, from Mana. I've realized how much my gameplay relies on forcing mistakes and being able to exploit human reactions. So this has put the game in a whole new light for me. We're all excited to see what comes next. So that's sort of somehow an interesting comparison as well. Forcing mistakes and to exploit human reactions. So if your opponent is necessarily completely different, you have to play against it in a very different way.
Yes, and that's again a main part of the game is also this is probably the way the DeepMind is training the agents. Maybe we can speak a few seconds. You read how to do this, like how they do this.
Well, obviously I don't know the details, and I haven't really done much of this myself, but I can at least hypothesize about this.
Well, okay, the way they do it, like in the general way, is that without going to the technical side, is that they take these agents. They are like this, let's say, single artificial intelligence part that are all working the same way. And then they just put them against each other in this StarCraft II league. And every agent it's matched against every other agent. So they have to win against each other. And every agent plays in a different way. And if you have large enough number, then you should have all the strategy going on. Then you take the best ones and you move them, and then they play against each other, and new agents come out all the time with new strategies. And at the end, like, they train a week, at least for this, and then they select the best five agents, the one that won the most against all the other one in the league. And basically, in a week, every agent that have been selected at the end is like they train 200 years in human time. Also, they play the game much faster, of course.
Yeah.
So that's the general way.
Yeah, I guess that's overall a good description.
So I don't know if you know any more technical way of doing this, but
no, I mean, I don't think we have to be more technical, because if we go more technical, we force mistakes because we don't know the topic too well.
Yeah, that's better. And I find that really cool, like how they train that. Like the idea of how to do this is really cool.
Yeah, it's overall it's a very not a very old idea, but quite an old idea. And sort of this machine learning, it's very hype. It's a very hot topic nowadays, but it's already been discussed in the 50s or even possibly in the late 40s, but 50s and 60s. And much of this is related also, or much of this has been following the idea of genetic algorithms, where the idea is partly the same. You have a pool of let's call them agents again, a pool of different agents which can have chromosomes, and then these chromosomes are sort of, the whole idea comes from actually biology, but these chromosomes can be like a string of numbers or a string of letters or anything else. Basically related to your problem or related to your data. So they have these strings, and then these pools of pool of agents. They all try to solve some problem, and they can reproduce in the sense that they actually have like this, in air quotes, sexual reproduction, where you need two different basically parents to create offsprings. I mean, there's different strategies as well, but this is a good one where you actually cross over the chromosomes. You choose a random part in the string of letters or what have you, where you sort of split your own chromosome, and then you take the next part or the other part from the other parent, and the basically just like in a simplified way how you know, like humans
nature, and nature works basically.
And then those offsprings are put into the pool, and at some point sort of these it's again sort of part of the algorithm. You decide how, but you can for example put some sort of kill or death rate, which sort of kills some agents from the pool, and sort of the better suited or the fittest, like literally the fittest, the one who, in this case, one who produced the best results related to your problem you're trying to solve, those survive. And if you keep this going on long enough, you end up with a pool of good candidates. Not necessarily it has not been proven that this would ever actually converge to the actual best possible one, but overall the results are sort of become better and better the longer.
So it's like how evolution works basically, just
it
reproduces and keeps the best. And this is the same in the training, like it's also how people train. You just keep doing something until you did it enough that you kind of have seen the most of the strategy used or situation you can find yourself in, and you know how to handle those. So Technic Alpha Star, it's already an advantage because every agent played 200 years and a human. Well,
yeah, I mean, no. Also,
the one thing that is the difference is that you have five different agents playing five different games. So you have one person against five agents. It's like the one person against five people. So they all play in a different way. So you cannot really get this how a person plays, because there is a kind of a style that comes into play, because five agents, they were playing completely different matches, really weird, some of them, and you cannot really connect them one to each other. So I would really like to see one agent that plays five games and can actually win with different strategy in the same agent, not five agents part of the same Alpha Star. Let's say Alpha Star is the big thing, but they are kind of five separate instances of that.
Yeah, I mean, that would be interesting where it would have to change its strategy, because as far as I understood, I'm not entirely sure if this is correct, but I understood that each of these agents basically play one strategy. So it knows one map.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah.
Knows one map, and then it sort of plays this one strategy, and lots of it is about how well it can actually do the micro.
So maybe it's not exactly the same strategy, but it's probably the way of playing is very similar. Like it's really maybe mostly this type of unit instead of the other type of unit.
Yeah. I suppose that's sort of close to it. Whereas for humans, I don't know how. I'm actually not following. I don't follow the pro league or the pro scene that much, but I don't know how often it happens, but I would estimate it happens sometimes that you start with a strategy, and then based on what you actually see during the game, you completely change your strategy if it's still feasible, if you have the time, and if it's possible.
Yeah, this is a big part of the why the game are always best of three, best of five, best of seven, because the more games you play against the same human or against the same opponent, you cannot do the same thing five times. If you do it, they know how to counter it. They are going to lose. Like you, if you're the best in the world to do one thing, you're not the best in the world. You can win maybe 10 times. After that, you're never going to win again. So that's also a big part of this. That, of course, if I if you play one time against this strategy and the other one is really good at that strategy, you're probably going to lose if you don't know the strategy before. So
yeah,
that's, it's 5 times 1-0. It's not 5-0. Like it's a different situation. It's not a best of five game. It's a best of 1 5 times.
Yeah. In a sense, yes. Yes. If we consider the individual agents as individual players.
Yes, because they completely play in a different way. If you look at all the games, they are so different that they are kind of the same player because it's Alpha Star way of thinking in a way, but it's separate instances of the same, so it's not the same player.
Yeah, I guess actually maybe a good anecdote or rather a good comparison would be that you're playing against a team of 5 people. They are the same team, but each of them can only play one strategy and they are the best in the world at that one strategy.
Yeah, exactly. That's probably how they kind of train against each other. So their strategy are really good. But then, each one can only play one match. So that's why the single agent would be so much more interesting. And I really hope they take this problem they have. They stop saying that they won because they had better macro and micro strategy. They just had better micro and more optimized strategy in this one game. That's what I think, personally. It's like, you can see when Alpha Star, one agent, played the live game against Mana, and they changed a few things. The agent only seen the camera, so they had to start moving the camera at that point.
Yeah.
You really started to see all the issues of the artificial intelligence. Mana actually won the game, I would say rather easy, in the sense that he did strategies that would work against the human, and a human would extremely easy prevent that strategy. Like he was moving this flying unit that carries other unit inside, it's the War Prism, he was moving it to the Alpha Star base, dropping some units, the unit start attacking there, and Alpha Star didn't really understand. It's like moving all the unit back, then this unit goes away, moving the unit away, then keep doing this. So the Alpha Star was moving their whole army out and in the base to counter this one thing that you could have countered with one single unit that shoot the flying carrier.
Yeah, I mean,
would have done that, any human, like even if you really don't know StarCraft, if you know what units you can make, you're like, wait a second, I can just make this one time.
Yeah, I mean, I think for a human, that is the sort of the easiest assumption, which can easily lead to a trap, but the easiest assumption, I see a few units, well, I better send a few units, but still a bit more than the enemy has. So, I see one unit, I better send 3 units, instead of, I see one unit, I better send my whole army. No, nobody, yeah. I mean, even a 12-year-old wouldn't do that, sort of, or maybe especially not a 12-year-old. I mean, anyone, you know, human with normal capabilities would actually react to that, especially sort of the more naive they are, the more probable it is that they just send a few units, which they see that, there's one unit, I can easily destroy it with these 3, so I'm just going to send these 3.
Yeah. And also there is this rock, paper, scissor situation. It was extremely strong there because it's a flying unit that cannot attack. It carries unit, and that's the paper. And the scissor is a flying unit that shoots flying unit.
Yeah.
It's the perfect counter, but the Alpha Star didn't see that. So there is really missing a strategy there.
And yeah.
The overall game looked so much more like, now it's fair. Like, it's not winning just because it's so much better at the mechanical part of the game, and it's trying to do something.
But like many times, very, very, very often, in my case, I have the problem with not necessarily with the thing that some news or some like this kind of blog post or something. I'm actually very excited about the thing that they're talking about, but the way that it's presented or the way that it's marketed is something that very, very often
Yeah, you know, it's not the correct one in a way.
Yeah, like in this sense, I think this would have been more appropriate if they mentioned that, hey, we are approaching a situation where, you know, if we use these cheats, I would say, sort of, or if we have these, you know, these help wheels on our AI, then it can actually beat the human very well. But, you know, because of blah, 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 instead of, hey, we made a neural network that is a lot better than you know, the pros or something like this.
And beside the news part, that's fine. It really doesn't matter. The fact is that I really hope people at DeepMind, they are the scientists and the engineer that they actually try to solve these problems. They are not StarCraft 2 pros. And I really hope they listen to what the StarCraft community has to say about these games and not say that they've done what they've done in the way they are saying it, because that is not true. And it puts emphasis on the fact that, yeah, our AI is really good, when it's so much worse than this, their post, the blog post. The AI is so much worse than they say it sounds to be. Like, they beat the other because of the micro strategy most, but also because when you have an AI that it can do certain things, the strategy are going to base on that. It has perfect micro, so it's building exactly the unit that is the stalker that you can like blink away very fast. And in high numbers, you can just keep blinking away the hurt one away from the enemy, and then you have the fresh one there. And basically, you can do that, and humans do that. But after a certain point of the game, there is another unit that is the immortal that is really destroys the stalkers. It's made against the stalker. But if you have perfect micro, they will never destroy them because you blink them away fast enough. But humans don't base their strategy on that because they cannot do it. And the machine is all based on, okay, this stalker is perfect. Just build shitloads of these and just go and win with this. That's not being very good at strategy, is being a very bad StarCraft player.
And being a very cheesy player.
Yeah.
I think this is a good, very good definition of cheese strategy.
Yeah, but the cheese, a good cheese player, they exist, and they're extremely good. This one time, it's all these different things they do. And they are very smart, and they use weird part of the game. Not like, this unit can do this, I am the best at using this. Oh, go. So, to end this, because it's getting quite a long discussion.
Yeah.
What I personally think is that this is extremely cool, and I really hope to see more. I would like to see, this was just Protoss versus Protoss in one map with all this limitation and with just basically two people only played this. And it would be really cool if they would continue this research and put the other races there. This changes completely. It's two different, it's the same race. You know everything what's going to happen. But if two races in StarCraft, they are really different how they play. So strategy there is so much more important than the micro at that point, because you cannot just do the same thing and do it better.
Yeah.
So I really hope that DeepMind understand that they did not do what they claimed they did. Otherwise, they are going to rest it on their own fame, kind of. And it's not the way science should go. Science goes like, yeah, we did this, we can do so much better. And that's the way you forward.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I agree with that sentiment. I think this is an extremely interesting result and something, if I only had the time, I would want to learn so much more about this. There's only so much time in the world for you. Whereas for neural networks, well, you can train 200 years in a
week.
In a week. But I agree with the sentiment that this is very interesting, and I hope that they sort of continue with it, and they will actually reach the point where we can, and sort of almost everyone can agree that they are actually at the level that they say they are, because this is badly marketed. Cool results.
Yeah. So, well, let's see. I guess we were going to speak about this in the future again, and let's see if we can find someone who knows these things better than us. I guess there is a chance that we find someone. Johanna probably knows who we can contact, so I'm going to try to organize this. And let's see, hopefully, because now I really want to know how artificial intelligence works in the technical side. So if we can do a technical episode, we don't understand anything, but it's good information. So, well, I guess we will see in the future.
Yeah.
And well, for now, this was an interesting conversation. I like this.
Same here.
Discussion episodes. Hopefully it was clear enough, because it might be very confusing if you don't know what StarCraft is and how that game works, and if you don't know how artificial intelligence works, put them together, really messy things. Well, okay, now we do this hashtag every time, but let's see when it actually happens. What is the hashtag this time?
We can't say hashtag DeepMind or hashtag AlphaStar. No. <guess that's, laughs> that doesn't really work. How about... No, that's too long. I was going to say hashtag badly marketed interesting news, but that's way too long.
Hashtag badly marketed AI.
Okay, sure.
it's long, so people really... Okay, tweet that at us at stg_podcast, and hopefully someone is going to do it. It happened once. That was my colleague, so that doesn't count. And to the next episode, see you next week, hopefully, and have a nice evening, night, morning, day, whenever you listen to this. Bye-bye.